In the last couple weeks on television, the Tour de France has been going on in France. Now, maybe you've watched a little bit of it, maybe you haven't watched any of it, but the whole point is that the best cyclists throughout the world, over a course of several days, several weeks in fact, travel the countryside on their bikes, traveling together and winning various stages, who was the fastest that day, and ultimately on the last day, the whole group rides into Paris, and whoever was the first one to get there on their bike over the course of 2 weeks is given the ultimate trophy and the crown and bragging rights for the next year. Now, from beginning to end, they're all striving and racing to who gets to be the first one to ride into Paris, the first one to cross the finish line, the fastest one. They do it together in what is called the peloton. They are all going together, and some people go ahead and some people go behind, but they all travel together, and they all got these cars and trucks going fast beside them and passing them in case their bike breaks. They've got a new brake. They got a new bike. If they need water or food, somebody hands it out a window, so there are constantly these people going beside them, helping them to finish the race. So that after two long and grueling weeks of going up and down the mountains and in the valleys and in the smooth roads and the difficult roads, they might at long last reach their goal to cross the finish line in Paris, France, one of the greatest cities of the world, and to at long last begin to say, I have completed the Tour of France. Our journey of discipleship, the journey we are on, is exactly like that. We're not just riding our bikes as if they were stationary bikes, just standing in the same place that we've always been, but we are on our way to a goal. Just as they were racing week after week, day after day, to reach their goal of riding into Paris, France, to cross their finish line, so too do we have a goal as Christians. Not to ride into Paris, but to ride into the kingdom of God. Just as they have people who are constantly beside them with new bikes and with water and food and encouragement or a bandage to close up the bloody leg, so too do we. Do we have people to assist us that God has ordained for us? There are prophets. There are apostles. There are teachers, there are ministers, there are elders, there are deacons. And it's their responsibility to see us to the goal and to the finish line. But just as there is a peloton, a group of riders traveling together to make sure that if we travel in a herd, we can set a pace, and more importantly, we can reach the finish line, so too is this crazy thing called the church our peloton for our journey, where we can travel our journey together and encourage each other to pick each other up when we fall down, that we might at long last cross the finish line together. For we, none of us, make this journey alone, but we make that journey together in the companionship and fellowship of fellow travelers on the same journey. So, my friends, there is a goal for this crazy thing called church. We're not just spinning our wheels on a stationary bike. There is a purpose God made this crazy church for. There is a reason. There is a goal. There is the finish line set before us by the almighty hand of God in Jesus Christ. And in our text from Ephesians, we are reminded what that goal is. That we would all be grown up. We would all be mature. We would all be complete in Jesus Christ. But that's a whole lot different. That goal that God has made is a whole lot different than the goals we as humans sometimes set on this crazy thing called the church. For some, the goal of church is to be entertained, to have a moving worship service with great music, with great speaking, with great stained glass windows in a great building, to have a huge number of people, thousands of people attending worship services. In the place to be, the church to be, with lots of money and lots of budgets and lots of programs going on, with gymnasiums and auditoriums. And yet in our text, what's the goal God said and God set for this crazy thing called the church? It isn't for the quantity of people. It isn't even the quality of the building or the quality of the minister or the quality of the people. He said the goal of the church is for you to grow up. And I'm not talking about the gray in your hair, the marks on your face, the stories that you could tell, the kids, the grandkids. The goal is that you would grow up into Jesus Christ and that you might love like he loves and live like he lives. That's got nothing to do with this or nothing to do with this. The whole point and goal which God has set for the church is you and me to grow up and become little Jesuses. Well, my friends, we've got a lot of growing up to do because we are neither humble nor meek like Jesus was. We're certainly not unified and united like Jesus was. But the goal, the whole reason for this church which God has ordained was so that you would cross God's finish line. Not riding into Paris, but riding into the kingdom of God. And my friends, if that is what God is working at, is he not going to finish his work? But in order to do that, in order to get there, God almost in his infinite wisdom knew that we were going to need help. So just as there were people to come alongside the writers, God has ordained that there would be people to come alongside you. Deacons to encourage, to care, to visit, to show compassion. Elders with wisdom who have already been there, who have been through the difficult times. People to encourage, ministers to minister, to teach, to educate, to inspire, to get you riled up, to give you hope when there is none, to give you truth when there is error. Now I realize that I am a minister telling you that you should listen to your minister. I realize how very easy it would be to see that I'm giving and making myself a job and giving myself job security, making sure that I get a paycheck every week. I realize it's very self-serving for ministers to say, pay attention to your ministers. But I could care less about glory. I could care less about money. There are pastorates that have twice as many people, twice as much money. But none of those are my goals. The text says the goal to which I have been ordained is for you to grow up. And I hope you know enough of me that I am not here to be self-serving. I am here to be you serving. To help you finish the race, to encourage you, to tell you to get back on the bike when you fall off, to encourage you, to ride beside you, to share your laughter and your joy and your tears, And I say that to serve you, not to serve myself. But I can't serve you if you ain't here. If you run away from this crazy thing called the church, if you wander off, I'm not saying that for job security or even for my twice-a-month paycheck. I can't help you if you ain't here. But my friends, there's one thing in our text which rings far greater than the ministers and the leaders who are responsible for you, for the finish line and the goal to which you are running. God didn't just give us the goal and give us the help. He also told us how we were supposed to make this journey. We're supposed to make this journey together. There's one Lord, he says, one God, one church, one Spirit, one baptism, one hope. And yet we are a church of two, us and them. Are we as cohesive as we should be? Do we come together like God wishes we would come together? Do we not have cliques, little groups within groups? And yet, what are we supposed to be but the peloton of God, all riding together towards the one goal, the one finish line, the one kingdom of God? And yet there's 10 churches in Ashtabula, 3 of which are Presbyterian. Do you know anybody at these other churches? Do you have any relationships with any of those people at the other churches? There are no people in this room that ain't white. And yet we are to be the one church, united, going the same place, created by the same God, given the same goal and the same leaders. And yet what do? We spend more time and effort breaking this thing called church. So in our text, Paul reminds us that God has made us one. And it's our responsibility to put our time and our energy and our passion keeping us one instead of becoming two. God doesn't just want us to reach the goal. God hasn't given us responsibility to help each other. The command God has given is get there together. And that means unity. That means cohesion. That means coming together instead of ripping apart. I was going to say there's no I in unity. There is. But it means that in this church, it isn't about I. It isn't about I getting the glory, I being a good speaker, I being more capable than you, I putting more money in the plate. I'm an elder, I'm a minister, I've got more money, I know more, I can do more, I've been here the longest, my last name is such. It isn't about any of that, because that goal is about me. But the goal God gives us is we. So perhaps we need to turn church upside down so that me becomes we. And we come together and we become cohesive and we bear each other's burdens and each other's joys. Less about me getting what I want and us getting to the finish line, which, by the way, God wants. So, my friends, we are on our tour de France, or rather, it's the tour of God, a journey of discipleship from here to our finish line. And we're going to get there because God said, you're going to get there. But it's His goal. It ain't yours. It's not mine. It's not the Presbyterians. It's not the denominations. The decree was God's that you should be finished. You're going to get there. But to that end, he's made some people, ordaining them and gifting them with everything you need to get there. So don't wander off. And more importantly, if you're one of those leaders, you better have your act together, because you're responsible for them. But the good news is God has given you everything necessary to make sure your people get there. So that means you're going to get there. But it also means it matters how we get there. If we're all off on our own, if we are single riders crossing the finish line, we would have failed in our mission, because the whole point that God said, you do it together. In unity, not as individuals, but as a group of God's people. So my friends, with all of your time, with all of your energy, with all of your passion, make sure you get to the finish line. If you are one of the leaders, make sure your people get to the finish line. But most importantly, my friends, make sure you get to the finish line and get there together. Not by yourself, but as the peloton of Jesus Christ. And may God be given the glory that God should choose this end for us, that God should give to us everything necessary that we get there. But most importantly, may the glory be given to God that we should do it together. So may the glory be his, may the power be his, and may there be unity in the church in spite of us. But may all of our honor and our praises be given to this God forever and ever. And all God's people say, Amen.